Our world is dying, politicians are lying, and just when you feel like crying, sit and have a listen to people who have shit themselves.
Hello, I'm Evie.
I'm Claudia, and we are the hosts of The Poodcast, a podcast all about breaking the poo taboo. Evie, how are you, you sweet, sweet lamb?
I'm not great at all, actually. I'm probably saying rock bottom.
Welcome.
Absolutely awful. I'm terrible.
You had a rough procedure this week.
Yeah, I've had quite a bad week. Which has also been sort of the cherry on the cake of it has been I've had my wisdom teeth out on the left hand side.
She's less wise on the left hand side.
I can't afford to lose any wisdom, and yet here we are.
The right side of your face looks so smart, but the left hand side looks so fucking dumb.
It's so fucking dumb. It's a dumb bitch. It really hurts. It's really swollen. I can't talk very well, which is not great for a podcast format.
No.
I'm still a bit ill. So anyway, the wisdom. So actually my bum and tum are not great either. Oh dear. But especially the mouth is, it's agony. Yeah.
Oh,
it's so painful. And the procedure, Claudia knows because she had hers out. It's absolutely the most traumatic thing.
I was saying to Eve, one of my best mates is a dentist, and she was literally talking about going to the gym to beef up a bit because she couldn't pull people's wisdom teeth out.
That's
because
grim.
It takes, I remember when I had mine out, the whole weight of this man.
Oh, he was
my mouth.
Yeah, and my jaw was going like, oh my God, I feel sick thinking about it.
It was horrendous. And why are they so jolly while they're doing it? Well, you said yours were borderline having a scrap.
They were all arguing with each other. It was the most stressful thing. It was like comedy. It was like a farce, people running in and out of the room saying, and then like being like, have you got this, Alicia? Have you got this? And they're all fighting with each other. I could hear them arguing downstairs. And then at the very end, there was nobody left apart from me and the dentist. And he was...
So do you come here often?
And then he'd started sewing up my mouth. I had to close my eyes because I could see the needle and thread and stuff. And I could feel it a bit. And it was so basically, I was like a fish on the end of a fishing line.
Oh my God.
And he was like, can you believe it? No one else is here and we don't have any scissors. So I was just attached to this fishing line and he kept turning around, which like kept pulling my head. And I was like, can you stop doing that, please? Like, and he was like, oh yeah, sorry. We're just waiting for Alicia with the scissors. And then fucking Alicia comes running up with the scissors. And he was like, oh, can you believe it? What's she like? I was like, yeah, what's she like? Isn't it hilarious? So yeah, it didn't instill
I'm great a real boy.
And it was just confusing because my normal dentist, Dr. Tony. And also my doctor is also a Dr. Tony. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's quite
two
weird.
Two Dr. Tonys in my life.
Two Tonys, one mouth. The less popular YouTube video.
Christ. Two Tonys, one mouth. It was Mouth Tony. I love my normal dentist and I really trust him. And then this surgeon who he, because obviously he's not a dental surgeon, they have to refer me to him. I just thought, why are you guys affiliated with these fucking mugs? My normal dentist is great. Why have you sent me here? This is awful.
Do you think you're being punked?
At one point, I was like, this is... Like, they were, during surgery, they were like, one of the dental nurses was two. They had to get another one in because they couldn't get it out. And they still didn't get it all out because it was welded to my jaw. One of the women, she was like sweating. She like mopped her brow at one point because it was such hard work. And then the two dental nurses started arguing between each other and then swapped roles. So one of them just started holding my head and then the other one had a go.
I'm imagining them like all dressed as the cast of Gladiators as well. Like, while they're like trying to pull out the world's strongest rooted wisdom tooth.
That's something that has, I guess, instilled a bit of confidence is that the roots and the bone and my mouth are all really strong.
Honey, your roots, you are one rooted little gum bitch.
And be out with gum bitch. And then the dentist was like in front of me, he went to one of the dental nurses, he went, Jesus Christ, this one's awful, it's the worst one I've ever had, I think I'm gonna have to get a different drill. And I was supposed to be in there for 45 minutes. I was in there for 2 hours.
Bring in the Megatron.
I was supposed to be in there for 45 minutes. I was in there for more than 90 minutes. They just left it. They got it out in 26 pieces. Apart from they said about 5% of the route, which they've now just left. So I don't know what's gone on. Yeah, it's just been Bad.
So painful how are you, as well. Yeah. Poor fucker.
Anyway, how are your bum and tum, Claudia?
My bum and tum, they have been better. Yesterday wasn't great. I kind of got a little dose of what can happen to my bum and tum when I'm really, really stressed. And it's not great. The kids that I work with were going swimming, and it was very stressful because some of them had never been on a school trip before.
Oh wow!
And so I had to do a very, very, very large risk assessment. And
is going swimming a school trip?
Well, yeah, because we're a central London school, so we have to walk literally. I'm not going to give the location, but through some of the busiest, it's a 20 minute walk through some of the busiest streets of London to get there.
This is interesting. Who goes to school in central London?
I know. I remember when I went there on my first day, and when I used to work in the year two class, I remember they once had to draw a forest, and the kids were like, "What's that?"
Oh my God. Can I just draw you a vape instead?
Yeah, exactly. And a needle on the floor. But yeah, I was really quite stressed. There was just a lot with loads of staff illness, and I was incredibly stressed. And I suddenly just felt like my stomach just go. And it was just as all the parents were arriving to do this a thing in the hall on a Friday where they read with their kids. So I was trying to get through all these parents who are all like wanting to stop and say hello, or is my kid enrolled in this club this summer? And I'm literally thinking, I am going to shit myself in the middle of the school hall in front of, Jesus Christ on the wall. Like I was very, very stressed, and then just got very annoyed at myself that I'd gotten myself into that state that I was then ill. Like, there's got to be a way of dealing. I think it's when I'm responsible for other people. That's
right,
when I'm most stressed.
Yeah. Of course, it's a big responsibility.
There was just, nine people involved, five children, and trying to get everybody. Two of our cover staff who were coming in from an agency were in the same car accident.
Oh my God.
Isn't that mad?
Not in the same car?
No.
So
either the agency was lying to us. But yeah, so the two people that were supposed to come and cover my class didn't show up because they were both in a car accident.
That sounds like a lie.
It's probably a lie.
Unless they were in the same car.
I don't know. Would you both be in the same car going to the same school? You just happened to be part of the same agency going to say, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, so
was there an accident? Do you know that?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't see anything on the news. And therefore it is not important enough for you to not come to my classroom.
Okay.
But other than that, Veganuary is done.
Oh, thank God.
So, you poor fuckers don't need to listen to me.
Claudia's house smelt very strongly of sausages.
In every sense. Not really.
In one sense.
Yeah, it's been nice to be back. I'm back in the meat business, back in El Carno. Carne. Oh, my Spanish is terrible.
It's not. You were very good.
Yeah. El Carne. I don't fucking know. Shall we get this guest on?
Yeah,
I am, as a massive, massive Drag Race fan and just a general fan of the art form of drag, I am absolutely buzzing to speak to our guest today.
Yeah, me too. I love drag.
I love drag. Let's get her. Our guest this week is Jessica Lahore, otherwise known as Chameleon Kimmy Gibbler Brunch Bingo Business Babe of Colorado, describes themselves as a regular IBS queen. Lahore has been previously named Colorado's Entertainer of the Year and broke the Guinness World Record for world's largest drag brunch. Lahore is an advocate for LGBTQ+ rights and works with schools to create a safe environment for children to ask questions and perform as themselves. Welcome, Jessica. We always ask our guests, how is your bum and your tum doing today?
My bum and tum surprisingly are great. Which is not normal for like a Saturday morning. And I think it's because I cooked at home last night and earlier in the evening. So I think that's why I set up for success today.
Congrats. I mean, that's always how you want to start a Saturday morning. Are they sometimes a bit dodgy for you then, the Saturday mornings?
Yeah, every single weekend I have to get up for brunch. And if I don't go to the bathroom at a certain time, I know it's going to be the worst day ever. So it's going to be a good day. That's how I know it's going to be a great day.
And for, I mean, we'll put videos on our channel, but can you please talk everybody through what you are wearing right now? Because it's absolutely incredible.
Yes, I thought it would be appropriate to wear my poop mullet and a poop onesie with a poop emoji hat.
It's beautiful. I mean, one of my questions was going to be, how could you dragify IBS? But I feel like you may have achieved that today.
Oh, yeah. This is I have three poop-themed outfits that I will wear at shows. I know, probably three too many, but I have one of three. This is the most comfortable.
Never enough. What are the other outfits?
The other one technically is, do you remember the old California Raisins, that like claymation?
Yes.
My mom made a costume when I was kids, and it looks like a dried up crusty turd with a bow tie. And so I wear that. I kept it from when I was a kid. I wear that and everyone thinks I look like a walking turd. That's one of them. And then the other one is literally, it's just like a onesie. Think of a onesie, but with strands of brown, yarn and oh god, what's it called, like when you're at a party, streamers that come hanging off of it. And so I'm like wet poop is what I would call it. So my wet poop
if
outfit.
This was like a poop ball extravaganza, the three looks, you'd be done. Be sorted.
I'm ready.
I love it.
They'd be finished.
Amazing. Can you start off by telling us and our listeners how you got into drag?
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for about 10 and a half years, 7.5 full-time as an artist.
Amazing.
I started in college when I was going to school and kind of discovering my identity. Drag for me when I started was gross and disgusting. I remember calling it that. I didn't want to watch Drag Race on TV because I thought it was weird and I was confused about a lot of things just inside. As I played with it, I went and had a boyfriend that was super into drag, and I was like, okay, I'll try it with you. Why not? You know, it's going to be a good time. I don't know how, like, we can get pretty detailed on this, I'm guessing.
Go into it. You're fine.
Yeah. Took me to my first drag show, and the queen that I was watching did a ballad. I can't remember what song, but she looked beautiful, and she was fingering herself on stage to this ballad. And so...
I really shouldn't have taken a sip of water.
I know, I was going to say. And I was like, wow, I love this. I want to do this. So we went to Walmart, a local store, and got a wig and a bra and some makeup and put on drag that evening. And he's like, you're so ugly. You should never do drag again. And I loved it. I fell in love with it. And so it became a hobby and then one time every now and again to a full-time gig.
I mean, who would have thought fingering was, you know, the inspiration that you
that
needed?
That was the inspiration.
I wonder how many other people can claim that as their start to their career.
Probably not in the context that I witnessed it, at least.
You never know. You never know. And what's it like being a drag queen in America right now? Obviously, the drag ban seems to be sweeping the nation. We don't maybe know about it as much as people in the US. What's it like over there right now being a drag queen?
Yeah, I think that it has been so relentless is the best word I can describe. Mm-hmm. Drag has been around for forever. Like I said, 10 and a half years for me, for many others, way longer. And even before that, significantly longer than that. It's not a new concept. It's on TV. It's on social media. It's on mainstream movies, SNL, wherever you can find it. People are doing drag. But in the last couple of years, this direction of like, and I equate it very similarly to gun violence in America. Mm-hmm. And how are we masking that gun violence isn't really the issue? It's drag queens reading books to kids. It's certain literature in schools. It's everything else but the actual problem. Yeah. And so drag was an easy in my opinion, for folks to like talk about. It's not a hard concept to understand and look at. It's not a hard concept to have an opinion on, whereas gun control is. So in America, I would say in Colorado, where I'm from, it's not as in my face. Okay. It's there for sure. We have protesters at events. We have folks that put us on lists to be watched. We have even a group called Gays Against Groomers, and that's not me promoting them, but it's queer people against drag queens and drag artists in the same way of like Gays for Trump kind of mentality, where it's like, where's your head at with this piece? So in Colorado, it's not as in our face. It's not as like, I'm able to go to work. We have some protesters. They're all talk. They're all bark, no bite. Mm-hmm. But in other places, we're finding that not only laws are passing. Venues are getting vandalized and shut down. People's safety are in jeopardy. People show up to events with firearms, with threats. It's pretty drastic how escalated this is. Like every drag queen is now a groomer. Every drag queen is now a pedophile. Every drag artist is now indoctrinating your children into queerness. And reality, that has nothing to do with any of it. So,
and it's just such hateful language towards something that is just so rooted in expression and beauty and people just being themselves and not literally dragging anyone else into it. It's all these individuals creating and spreading joy. It's just so sad to see so many incredible people's spirits being dampened by people with such small minds and distracting away from bigger problems, like you're saying.
Yeah, there's this big notion that, you know, it's the biggest thing is it's too sexualized. It always is sexual. It's too adult and everything. And we have to look at this argument that everything in life has ranges of G to X rated, mm-hmm. from the videos that you're watching, the podcasts that you're listening to, the sporting events that you're going to. There are adult drag events where there are no kids there. It is a 21 plus event at a bar. And then there's all ages family friendly events where we're doing nothing more than reading a story. Reading a story to kids who don't look at us any different than like they would a Disney princess on TV. So if you're willing to take your kids to Hooters or a football game, yeah. or if you're willing to take them even to church, which has different ideals into it, there's no reason that you can't go to a drag story time and have the same experience. You're thinking more about it than the kids are.
And is this where your work as Miss Jessica comes in? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Miss Jessica is like a separate persona that I created for all ages family friendly events and for corporations that wanted to tone down my style's very much unadulterated or unadulterated, X-rated, very unfiltered, very raunchy. But when I'm requested by certain companies to tone that down, I'm happy to do mm-hmm. so. Miss Jessica started by me going to a literacy day where they brought people from different careers into a middle school okay. to talk about how education influenced their career choice and how it was important to read. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So I came in as Miss Jessica, read a book about bullying, answered some questions, and two mothers that were not even a part of that school blew it up, and it went international in 2018. All across the world, people were talking about this. Rush Limbaugh talked shit about me on one of his podcasts before he died. Like, it went really crazy over nothing. So I was already doing all ages events beforehand. And this event in 2018 blossomed Miss Jessica into something bigger.
Yeah.
I think people thought it was going to shut me down from doing all ages events and actually created a persona and a side business in addition to Jessica Lahore that allowed me to reach out to all ages events. So I now do tons of them every month. It's really awesome where that's grown.
And that's the best way to do it. Just keep doing what you're doing and paying them no mind, because I think it's incredible. Good for you.
It's amazing. You've got a new segment, haven't you, that Ask a Drag Queen a Question. Could you tell us a bit about what that is and some of the strangest things that you've been asked?
Yeah, surprisingly, I haven't gotten anything like ridiculously wild, thank goodness, but I'm prepared for it.
Yeah.
This idea started, I have a marketing meeting every week with my team, and we decided to get really stoned for this particular marketing meeting.
I hope our producer is listening to this.
Yeah. She's a hidden stoner. And I was sitting there and I was like, you know, what if we tipped people back money to talk to us? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the idea came from. We went to one location and that video, that particular moment took off. We had the woman ask if she could pray for me and that video took off. Very respectful though.
Okay.
Very like, may I pray for you? I said yes. And her prayer was all about, you're doing good things. Protect her on the streets and continue the good work. Like, that was the prayer. Very unexpected. I think people also don't expect drag artists to put themselves in situations like this. So we took that one idea and started doing it every month, getting different interactions. A lot of it is the look that I'm wearing that draws people in to see what I'm going to wear. People want to know where I'm going to be located. So We do like a subscription now to Lahore Mail, where it'll have the location of where I'm going to be at for that month if you wanted to come and run into me for a question. All questions are warranted, regardless of how inappropriate some people might find them or how direct they might be, as long as it's asked with a respectfulness behind them. And to be honest, I'd even answer the disrespectful ones, because that's the purpose of this experiment. It's gone amazing. Some of the best questions have been about kids asking like why I'm doing this or how I do my makeup or how did I get my name and things like that. And some of my most favorite questions come from really drunk, intoxicated people.
I was going to say, some of the ones I've seen, maybe more about your nether regions than anything else.
Yeah. And the thing is, I never know what people are going to ask, but I'm not scared. I'm putting myself in that position to answer anything. I'm not uncomfortable. I don't get weirded out. I will answer it truthfully. You don't want to ask it, then don't expect a truthful answer. But one of the times I was dressed like this, and it's my favorite memory, very, very drunk, messed up human, came up to me and was like, the question was, are you Bambi the deer? Are you Bambi? And I said, no, I'm a poop. And then he said, okay. And I gave him $1 and he walked away. And I was like, that was the most bizarre interaction that I think I've ever had with another person. I'm clearly not a deer, but he's like, are you Bambi?
If you need me to be Bambi, babe, I'll be Bambi for you.
Pretty much. Yeah. I've danced with people on the lives. A lot of people ask for hugs. I really enjoyed the interactions during Thanksgiving time. I would ask people what they're thankful for. A woman broke down and said, you know, I'm thankful that I'm alive. We don't know her story. We don't know her background, but obviously it touched her in a moment to express that. So it's another reminder that you have no idea what people are going through. Totally. Also.
And I'm sure when they see you on the streets, I'm sure you are brightening everybody's day, even if they don't maybe have the guts to come and speak to you. I'm sure that is the positive impact you are having. Yeah, and we actually found you, our producer found you when she saw a video of you online. And I think the hashtag was drag queen with IBS. Can you please tell us? We're ready. Let's get into this shit. Can you tell us about your journey with IBS?
Yeah, I joke about it at all my shows, and I think people think it's actually a joke, but it's very much a real experience in my life. I have had IBS for a long time, but I'm also the person with IBS that's like, I'd rather eat what I want and suffer than give up the foods that I don't. And then I'm reminded that the suffering really does really fucking suck. So drag artists have to pad. We put on like 5 pairs of tights. We're tucked and things like that. It definitely controls and manages what I'm eating, when I'm eating it. Like I usually don't eat during the days in drag, or if I do, they have to be very specific items the night before. If I want to wake up like today and be ready to get into drag for the full day, because I usually do anywhere from 3 to 7 shows on Saturdays, every Saturday, and same on Sundays, I have to be very cautious of what I'm doing. There have been times where I've had to stop the show while hosting and say, we're going to take a quick break and run to the bathroom because I made poor choices that day.
Still Mike.
There have been times I didn't.
We do that.
Very few times where I didn't make it to the bathroom and I've shit my pads before. Not all the time, but it just happens. Shit happens.
At least there is like cushions to really catch anything. That. Like that's quite good. Padding is quite handy to have when you've got IBS, I think. No.
Oh God, no, because you have to get rid of them. It's not like underwear where you just wash it and it's fine. It's very, it's very, very absorbed. It's there for a long time and it's not a fun time. Yeah.
And I want to ask you a question about tucking with IBS. Could you quickly just explain to any of our listeners that don't know what tucking is?
Yeah, so I'm going to be just real straightforward about it. A lot of entertainers tuck very differently. The way that I tuck is you take your balls, you shove them up into your body, you take everything else, shove it back into your taint and into your crack area, and then you'll take one pair of underwear to hold it in, more like a thong, and then a second pair of underwear for myself to really put it up even more. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I'm not doing any tights and I'm using duct tape. So I'm using plastic wrap, spray adhesive, and a little duct tape to snatch it back into my taint, into my whole area, and then I put a thong on and I can walk around and everyone's trying to look and figure out where my goodies are.
Goodies. I love that. So, I mean, because I'm just thinking about when I have, you know, bad IBS times, I don't want anything blocking my butthole or any, like, how are you dealing with this when you've got an IBS flare up and you're tucked?
After 7.5 years of doing it full time, you manage it. Okay. And it's the days that you don't expect it that are the days that you're like, why is this new? Like, this flare up should not be happening at this moment. This should not be something that I did everything. I checked off all the boxes to make sure this didn't happen. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. Oh, it was because I had a little bit of Dr. Pepper, which is something big for me. And Dr. Pepper just does that to me. I don't know what. I could
What's
have a sip
the
of it.
Worst
and then I,
that could happen.
Yeah, planning out my mornings during the show. I've learned to just stop the show if I'm on the mic or just communicate. Like, I'm not going to power through a performance. Mm-hmm. If I have to go to the bathroom, I don't do that anymore.
I think that's great. I think sometimes you do just have to take ownership of it and say, I need to put myself first, even in a performance situation. I think I've got to go deal with this. I mean, otherwise you are literally shitting on stage, which could be drag. You could make it work. I'm sure it's happened somewhere.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Maybe not on a weekly basis. Maybe you might lose some hosting gigs if you start doing that all the time.
That part.
I love it. I love it so much. And I, just as a side note, just while we're still talking about hosting and drag, I need to know personally, who are you backing in Drag Race this season?
I really am a fan of Nymphia Wind is kind of my, especially after this last episode, I'm finding that she has the mentality that a lot of the winners in the past have, Sasha Colby specifically, where she doesn't have to speak up about what she knows until she has to speak up about it. She has nothing to prove. She's able to have fun and say, I can turn out whatever it is. And she's kind of checking off every box for challenges, even if she's not winning.
Is it something that you'd ever like to do?
I've auditioned in the past. I think that it's a great opportunity. I'm a very much an entertainer that will never put all of my eggs in one basket. And if I were to audition in the future, I would let it marinate. And if it were meant to be, it would meant to be. But it's not going to stop my hustle from
Absolutely.
What I'm doing in life.
Thank you. So. Thank you for indulging me just for that. Back to IBS.
Yeah, of course.
We always like to see if there's any top tips or tricks that you have that might help listeners. Is there anything that you found has helped your IBS symptoms?
To be completely fair, I don't know if help my symptoms necessarily. No. But if you're somebody with IBS, I always plan an extra literal 45 minutes to an hour in my mornings if I know it's a long day if I can feel my stomach going on. People are like, oh, you spend so much time in the bathroom. Are you just, what are you doing in there? I'm like, you don't, it's just a process. I don't want to get up and get down and get up and get down. I know this is going to happen multiple times or whatever I need to do. So I always give myself an extra half hour to 45 minutes in the morning to get it out. I am cautious if I have an early start the next day or if I'm going to the gym early the next day, that I'm cautious of how late I'm eating something that I know will affect things. How much seasoning I'm putting into things matters depending on that. Like, I can have a bowl of cereal late night. That's not going to do anything. But if I have oat milk, nothing's going to happen. But if I have regular milk, as much as I love it, I have to prepare for that too. So changes, drastic changes in my body. I'm an adventurous eater, so if I choose to go out and eat wild things that I don't normally do because I really want to, I can expect then the visit later. Sometimes I feel like literally in the same hour that I eat something that it goes straight through because of how upset my stomach is.
And do you find
is.
That might be also kind of a link with the whole the gut-brain access? Like, do you find that your brain can get quite obsessive or worried about food if it's new for the first time?
Claudia's asking that.
I'm asking
Claudia
that because that's
over.
How I feel, and I'm hoping someone will join me.
I think subconsciously that it could be, there is a connection. I don't think actually like what I'm eating is coming out within a 30 to 45 minutes or an hour of when I eat it. But I think subconsciously my body's like, well, this is new, so we're going to do it to you anyway. Even if it's not in the same instance, but absolutely. I think there's got to be some connection.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I'm always looking to literally pull people into my psyche of being obsessed about what I eat. It's really, really healthy.
So are you as well? Are you the kind of person to think, well, do you know what? Fuck it. If this is going to mean that I'm on the toilet for 2 hours, I'm going to be on the toilet for 2 hours. I'm going to eat this because it's delicious.
That's me literally all the time. I am a sufferer. I know my pain is coming. I love hot sauce. I love spicy food. I love seasoned food. I love fast food. I love greasy food. I love comfort food. I love snacks. But I know what that comes with. I know exactly what that comes with. And I know one day I'm not going to be able to eat these because I get like an ulcer or something worse than just IBS. And I'll have to make changes to my diet then. But for right now, I'm just going to power through it, deal with my own shit, and go on with my day.
Jessica, we always ask everyone on our guests, everyone on the show, if they have any good comedic toilet tales for us. Do any come to mind?
Any pads that have been thrown out?
Yeah.
I have been thinking about this, and I one of the funniest stories I have, I don't know if it's because of IBS or not. I don't know if I can tell
That's
toilet
okay.
tales that are IBS
That's
or
allowed.
Not.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I've got two. One, I don't know what it was, but I was feeling sick. It was not food poisoning. I had not eaten that day, but I was not feeling the best. And I had to make a choice between throwing up or shitting, and I made the choice to throw up. Made the choice, you know.
Sophie's choice.
Which is the best? Pick it out.
Do I throw up while I'm sat on the toilet, or do I vomit into the toilet and shit on the floor?
Yeah. There it is.
Well, I chose the latter of the two.
Oh wow! That's not what I'd recommend.
I remember my boyfriend being like, "Where's our bath mat?" And I said, "It's in the trash, and we don't need to talk about it." Literally, I made the choice to throw up there. Couldn't get a trash can. Couldn't get to the bathtub. It's dead. I'll buy a new one. It's fine. But there was one time in high school, I decided to drink 18 Izzy's. They're like a little, do you know, they're like little sodas. It's pretty much a carbonated syrupy drink. And I decided to drink like 18 of them in one sitting. Because
in one sitting,
cool. How did you get your hands on 18?
There were two for one at my high school cafeteria, and
well,
my
so
mom
obviously you go for the nine, and then
of course, so I just drank them all.
Yeah, perfect.
Was this a dare? Did somebody make you do this, or you did it on? Nope. Yeah.
Okay, just me.
That's
just
okay.
Me.
That's your
just
choice.
Just me being stupid. Nice. But it got to the point where at the end of the day, I missed my last class because I was in the bathroom. And not only that, I missed my bus because I couldn't get off the toilet. The sounds that I was making was so funny. Me and my sister have a really gross and interesting relationship with farts in general and shitting. But I recorded myself farting and shitting on the toilet and sent it to her. And I, at some point when the school was empty, the janitor asked if I was okay. Then I had to call my mom to pick me up because I missed the bus because I was literally on the toilet for like a solid 2 hours. That was a really rough memory.
That's rough.
Does Miss Jessica teach the children not to do this as well? Is this the life lesson?
Jessica
that they
says
need?
Only two Izzy's for you.
There's so much trauma response whenever I have an Izzy now. I'm like, just the one, just drink bet, the one, yeah. And let it
you
be.
Can, so you can still have them now. You haven't been put off them for life.
Oh no, nothing that makes me shit bricks puts me off. It makes me want to eat and drink it more. I told you, I'm not going to let it put me down. Right. I'm going to power through this.
Oh my God. Well, power to you. It's admirable. And we if we do come to Colorado, we'll stay away from the Izzy's.
Yeah, well away.
I don't think I've ever been called admirable with my shitting experience. Thank you for making me feel
like
a warrior.
Yes, you
right
are.
Now.
You're a warrior dressed in a poop outfit. Like, what more do you want on a Saturday? I love it.
Stunning.
So, Jessica, where can people find you online and watch your incredible videos?
Yeah, the best thing is at my website, www.jessicalahore.com. It's LWHOR, no E, because I say I'm illiterate. And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or X now, YouTube. I have a podcast called Jess Talks that is available on all streaming platforms as well, Facebook, but I post pretty much all of those consistently.
How do you have time to look this good and to keep
honestly
up with all of that? What? And to sit on the toilet for 2 hours every now and again as well.
I have a desk next to the toilet.
Work and shit and shit and work. Fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Jessica, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Well, what a gorgeous pooper scooper she was. Oh, Jessica Lahore, baby.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And we hope you have a joint passion of dragon poo. I don't know. What's the Venn diagram looking like that there?
Dragon poo and I don't know. Turning looks and
IBS snatch. I don't know.
Your snatch is definitely a event in your Venn diagram, but for many different reasons.
Hey.
Hey. Look, let's not. You need to rest your poor mouth with an ice pack.
Yeah.
And the rest of you all need to go watch Drag Race. You can't, I think the latest series, you've got to download WOW TV, which of course I've already bloody done. But I would strongly suggest doing that and checking out Jessica Lahore online, because they're a fucking phenomenon.
Oh yeah, absolutely wonderful. And I was going to say, please come again soon. But
please do come again soon. And please do send us any toilet tales you have of your own to thepoodcastofficial@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @_poodcast and the same on TikTok. We do put stuff on there these days. So
God, we're so relevant.
We're really relevant. We're really current. We're really down with the hip hop chicas.
Been a hopper.
Have a lovely day, everyone. We'll see you soon.
I love you.
Bye.